We're back. I'm Michael Cohen. You're listening to 1320 WILS. While the American culture of parenting has dramatically changed, especially when it comes to the idea of physically disciplining a child, a new Michigan State University study finding that it may happen more often than you might think. Kathy Stansbury is an MSU Associate Professor of Human Development and Family Studies. She joins us now to talk about the findings of her research. Kathy, thank you very much for joining us on WILS.
Thank you for your interest.
Tell me, is there any long-term data showing just how much punishments like spanking have dropped off in, let's say, the last 20 or 30 years?
Well, there is a lot of long-term research on spanking, but it has never really come with a specific conclusion because it seems to be the case that things like family culture and subcultures, income and so on, make a difference to both how often people use physical discipline and what the outcome of it is for kids.
I see. So to say that physical discipline of children in the U.S. has dramatically dropped off in the last 30 years or so, would that be safe to say, or we're not even sure about that?
I would say it depends on who you're talking about. If we're talking about which groups in the United States we're talking about. And like I said, that has to do with, partly with class, partly with ethnicity and culture. There are some groups who use spanking as a part of sort of the traditional discipline technique. And in some cases, especially if there is an accompanying sort of warm relationship with a parent in African-American families, for example, the data shows that you don't have the same kind of negative effects.
Let's talk about your study, which looked at physical interactions between parents and children, not necessarily discipline at home. This was things that were occurring in public. Can you describe the research and what was your finding?
Well, we had two main findings. One was that we found that we were interested in looking at the likelihood of parents using either a negative kind of touch or a positive kind of touch when disciplining their children in public for sort of minor infractions. And what we found was that, in fact, the male parents were more likely to use some kind of touch than the female parents. And when the male parents did use a touch in the discipline event, it was much more likely to be positive than negative. And so that was one of the sort of surprising findings, because I think people typically think that mothers are always going to be using the gentle touch and fathers are always going to be using the sort of harsh physical touch. But that's not what we saw.
Interesting. When you talk about negative, positive touch, can you give me a sense of what those kinds of touches are?
Sure. So a negative touch would be something like a slap, yanking a child's arm, giving a pinch, shaking a child, something like that. And positive touch would be having an arm around the shoulders, stroking the face, giving a pat on the back, holding hands, something like that.
Is it in a positive touch used to discipline a child or control a child, you're saying?
Yes, and I think that that sort of leads into the second interesting finding that we have, which is that people who used a positive touch in the same kind of discipline events, you know, the child's climbing on the table and won't get down at a restaurant, the child's pulling things off the shelf at a store, you know, the typical things that preschoolers do, that when people use a positive touch, the children actually complied with the request by the parent much more quickly, and they were happier at the end of their own compliance. So the child would basically, the response was much better when a positive touch was used.
I'm talking to Kathy Stansbury, an MSU Associate Professor of Human Development and Family Studies. So there was some touching involved in all these cases, right? I mean, were these situations where the parent had to physically interact with a child because of even potential danger to the child? Or?
No. In fact, we did not include potential danger situations because that would, as you suggest, everybody's sort of going to be forced into a physical contact if there's a dangerous situation, you're going to grab the kid and bring him down off the rail or whatever.
Was there a percentage of time when there was no physical contact at all then?
Yes, yes. There was. And so what we basically did was just observe parents and wait for something to happen. And we weren't looking at anybody in particular, but when a child would misbehave, a parent and seemed to be not happy with whatever was happening, that's when we started to look and see, oh, did this person use a positive touch, a negative touch, or no touch? And so the result regarding positive touch had to do with it was better than no touch and better than negative touch in terms of having the child mind the parent.
What percentage of the time would you say there was positive touch, no touch, and negative touch?
I would say negative touch about 25% of the time and positive touch about 30% of the time.
I see. So, but still almost half the time there was no touching at all. So the child was responding to just verbal commands.
Yes, but it's also, but those children either did not respond to the commands or they took longer to respond to the commands. But there are certain number of children who didn't ever respond to the commands within 3 minutes is what we timed it. And that was more likely to be the case if they received a negative touch. And if they received a positive touch, they complied more quickly.
You said ultimately that the fathers had a tendency to touch in a positive way more so than mothers. Is there any idea of why that might be the case?
I think I don't have a real good idea about it because we haven't repeated the study yet. I think it was surprising. The mothers didn't use more negative touch. They simply used sort of an equal amount. The fathers were much more likely to use positive touch than negative touch. And it's possible that these fathers were, out on a day, on a weekend day when they were with, their families and so on, and it may be that that's a sort of a more special event for them than it would be for mom since she potentially was the sort of more full-time caregiver, and so it might be treated as, a special outing by the father and maybe more so as a kind of regular we're out again and what's going to happen today sort of outing for the moms. But that's just a speculation that might account for why the male parents were more positive. I don't know.
Now, you say that there is a huge variance, at least when you look at discipline, when it comes to how parents approach children based on social class. What is the dividing line? Is it the more affluent tend to be less physically disciplinary than those that are potentially less affluent?
Yes, I mean there goes with education and sort of job status, or socioeconomic status that we think of. So more affluent and higher education parents are typically more consistent in terms of who does the discipline. And when I say more consistent, what I mean is that there are similarities between the mother's role and the father's role in terms of discipline. More consistent in a sort of middle class, better educated group. And also they are less likely to use, harsh physical punishments to discipline children. And in lower socioeconomic groups, it is more typical to see the father be the disciplinarian and be there is sort of a gender difference in who's going to be doing the discipline and for there to be physical discipline involved.
One last thing. In the field of family studies and also in human development, is it now agreed that any kind of physical discipline, negative touch, let's say, in a harsh way, is unnecessary and without any question harmful to a child, no matter how and when it's done?
That is a very hard question to answer. I would say, based on the data, that there are groups for whom those data don't hold up, that it's the case that some groups use spanking as a discipline strategy in the context of family warmth and it doesn't seem to be problematic in terms of child outcomes. What I can say definitively is that in general, harsh discipline, physical discipline, is not very effective. And I think that everybody in human development, people who are interested in children and children's welfare would say that it's for the most part not a great idea because it has negative ramifications. And in general, it doesn't work well, and that we're starting to understand what kind of does work better is a more positive approach. And I think what our study adds to that is to say that it's not only sort of a positive verbal approach, like a, you know, nice sort of calm words, but a physical, positive physical approach actually contributes something in addition to having the child have a good discipline outcome.
Sure, and probably a higher self-esteem too, of course.
Yes, yeah. Children are going to respond well to having rules, having them enforced, and having them enforced in a way that still allows them to kind of maintain their sense of self and a positive feeling about their relationship.
Kathy Stansbury, MSU Associate Professor of Human Development and Family Studies. Kathy, thank you so much for joining us on WILS.
My pleasure.
And we will be right back. I'm Michael Cohen. You're listening to 1320 WILS.